A little warning about our second reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. This is not the easy one. I know, ask me, I know I've wrestled with it for days. It has a depth difficult to follow. It has a message easy to understand. About that time, some people came up and told him about the Galileans Pilate had killed while they were at worship, mixing their blood with the blood of the sacrifices on the altar. And Jesus responded, "Do you think those murdered Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans? Not at all. Unless you turn to God, you too will die." And those 18 in Jerusalem the other day, the ones crushed and killed when the Tower of Siloam collapsed and fell on them, do you think they were worse citizens than all other Jerusalemites? Not at all. Unless you turn to God, you too will die. And then he told them a story. A man had an apple tree planted in his front yard, and he came to it expecting to find apples, but there weren't any. He said to his gardener, "What's going on here? For 3 years now I've come to this tree expecting apples, and not one apple have I found. Chop it down. Why waste good ground with it any longer?" The gardener said, "Let's give it another year. I'll dig around it and fertilize, and maybe it will produce next year. And if it doesn't, then chop it down." Here ends our scripture reading. May God give us insight, wisdom, and understanding as we wrestle with this text. Have you heard about the story about a mother who heard the family cat yowl in pain? She exactly knew where to look. So from the kitchen she yelled, "Tommy, stop pulling that cat's tail." "I'm not pulling it, Mom. I'm just standing on it. He's doing the pulling." You see, so we put the blame on the cat, or on the poor, on the White House, or on anyone but ourselves. This is the age of self-justification. Honest facing of facts and truth is often scarce, difficult to find. So I think it's legitimate that we ask for once, now why do bad things happen to so many good people? And I'm sure that all of us ask this question from time to time. Well, let us not be surprised. Long ago, 2,000 years, some followers of Jesus asked exactly the same questions. Roman governor Pontius Pilate cruelly murdered some Galileans as human sacrifices. Question was, were they greater sinners than other Galileans? Why should they suffer so much? A tower collapsed in Siloam and crushed 18 bystanders. Why did it happen? Was it because of their sin? Jesus repeatedly made it clear that human tragedy is never, never, ever punishment for sin. In Matthew 5, verse 45, Jesus said, "This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish to everyone, regardless. The good and bad, the nice and the nasty. God does not reward us according to our virtues, or punish us for our transgressions. The only possible conclusion is that there are some things in this world that simply just happen because of the physical laws which govern our universe. And often they happen to the very best of people. Faithful believers die with cancer. Drunk drivers wipe out innocent families. Some things simply just happen. Somebody was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Some things in life we cannot control. God doesn't send us the problem. He gives us the strength to cope with the problem, with every problem. But because we so desperately want to control our own lives, many people invented what we would call superstitions. So in our times, you still get people who carry around a rabbit's foot, or hang a horseshoe, or consult the horoscope in order to control or at least know their fate. Oh, how desperately they want to control that small area of life that is unknowable and uncontrollable. And they do it, maybe with the wish, maybe something good will happen to us. Maybe this will keep the bad away. Maybe, just maybe. And you know, some human efforts border absolutely on the absurd in this regard. Reminded me of the story about the man who was panic-stricken on his first flight. It was so bad that later the pilot personally came to calm him down and he asked him, "Tell me, are you a religious man?" "Oh, yes, yes," the man replied. "Well, tell me, don't you believe that when your time is up, you'll go and not until then?" "Oh, yes, I believe that," the man replied. "Then what are you nervous about?" He responded, "Well, I'm afraid your time will come before mine." When we attempt to control our fate by the use of a charm or a ritual or trust in fate or the stars or whatever, there is a title for it, there's a name for it. It is superstition, nothing else. Authentic faith in God is 180 degrees the opposite of being superstitious. Now, by now, I think we all know that it is not how we are. That's not how things happen. We know that. We are modern people. And I think I can speak for all of us if I say, well, obviously we are no longer superstitious, if we ever were. Well, you sure? Let us analyze some of our prayers. How often do we attempt to manipulate God in prayer? We even want God to adjust the weather to help us go on our summer outing. Sometimes we want God to change our boss's attitude, and believe it, sometimes we call on God to help us win the lottery. We tend to advise God as to what we think is the best of us. So obviously, Jesus did not want people to struggle with this question about why bad things happen. Jesus wanted to teach responsibility for making good things happen. For changing negative into positive. For responding to hunger with food. So let us not concern ourselves with those things in life which we cannot control. Rather, we need to concern ourselves with those things which we can indeed control. Some people sit around and speak sadly about what life has done to them. I believe it is time that we stand up and ask, what can we do about life? Just think of the suffering of so many innocent citizens in Syria being killed by their own government. What about the masses of starving people in Africa? Everywhere, everywhere, horrible things are happening to good people. The question is, we know that, but who shall we blame for this condition? Of course, we cannot answer the question of why there is hunger in the world. But think of it, we can do our part to help see that at least some, even just a few, of the hungry are fed. We cannot answer the question why healthy adults with families are struck down in midlife. We cannot. But we can be there to bring comfort and to supply material and emotional support to those left behind in sorrow. We simply cannot solve the world's problems, but we must do what we can to help solve it. We all have a part as Christians to play. That is the core of our faith. That's why we're here. And you know what we're doing? We are constantly asking God to solve the world's problems, while God is asking us to do exactly the same thing. As Great Britain was fighting for its life during World War II, before America's entry into the war, Churchill wrote as follows to President Roosevelt, "Send us the tools and we will do the job." Translated in our times. Rather than only praying for peace in the world, we need to pray that God would make us peacemakers. Rather than asking God special favors, we need to pray that God show us someone today less fortunate than ourselves who needs our assistance. That is how God works, in and through God's people. Heard about the sailor who was leaning on the deck rail when his friend stuck his head up through a nearby hatch and cried, "Help! Help! The ship is sinking!" The sailor shrugged. "So what? It's not my ship." I'm certain that he soon afterwards learned that it was indeed, his ship. That's the message of our times. We are all in this together. If the world goes up in flames, it is our world. We are accountable for what we contribute. So, this boils down to a question that I need to ask. Asked it to myself a number of times past week. Is our religion sincere, convincing, Christian faith? Or is our religion nothing but superstition? Summarize this way. Are you using God, or is God using you? Why do bad things happen to good people? That is a tough question. I do not pretend to know the answer. But here is one far tougher than that question. With so many people in this land claiming to be Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, why is there still so much suffering in America, our fatherland? Could it be that is because many Christians are still out searching for four-leaf clovers and God's intervention rather than taking up a cross and follow Him? That is the gospel that we believe in. That is our faith. That is our calling. Are you using God, or is God using you? Many, many wonderful, great, life-changing deeds in our world began with just one simple little phrase. Here I am, God. Send me. Oh God, let it be. Let it be. Amen.